Justin Wall, or Dr. Justin Wall, is from Te Rārua and Te Opauri, but he's a practicing dentist in Ashburton. And he is the tumuaki of Te Rōpū Niho Ora, which is our Māori dentist's Rōpū. And yesterday we had a kōrero with Muna Lee, who is returning back to Mumbai, where she had a lot of work done on her teeth. And she said it worked out really well. But there are some horror stories from people who travel offshore to get their teeth done. And so to provide some balance, we thought we'd have a kōrero with Justin, who's kindly with us, to chat about what's been described as dental holidays. Thanks for joining us, Justin. Tēnā koe. It's good to talk again.
Kia ora, and thank you for the opportunity to have a bit of a yakety-yak.
Yakety-yak. Don't look back. That's a good song. We'll get to that one another day. By the Coasters, I might add. You might dial that one up for us. We'll play it off the back of our cordial. Hey, Justin, you've heard of this. It's been going on for ages, but there does seem to be a tendency for more people to travel offshore, far-flung places, Argentina, Poland, India, Thailand, to get work done on their teeth. What are some of the issues that we have to be aware of?
Well, I think the principal issue, and I'm, you know, I'm very sympathetic, and you know, understand the reasons why the person you interviewed yesterday has decided to go overseas. And anything I say is not a criticism of them wanting to go and do that, because that's a decision that people make. However, extensive dental work, or even less extensive dental work, requires a significant amount of planning and support after having the work. So, you know, if you were to go and you were to have multiple dental implants and crown and bridge work, it's not something that would be undertaken very quickly. And in particular, the workup for even contemplating doing stuff like that may take several months. The procedures themselves, normally, you know, in this sort of setting in New Zealand, we would it may be phased in over a period of 2, even out to 3 years for extensive work, and then there's the ongoing maintenance of it. So the concern that we as dentists would have on people going away and having this work done over a very, very short period of time is that there's probably inadequate planning, the timing and the speed at which the stuff is done may or may not be clinically appropriate, and then there is the ongoing maintenance of the work that has to be done, because it has to be supported. You don't just do something and walk away. You've got to carry on having maintenance of all of the stuff that gets done. So that is the principal concern. Whereas at the you know, the upfront cost might be less, but the long term support becomes difficult.
Tēnā koe. It's your fault, Justin. They're all going because they reckon you charge too much, mate.
They may do, but also without understanding what individual needs are, my commentary has been before and continues to be that people need to look around. You know, if if someone flops a bill for or an invoice for a treatment plan of $18,000 in front of you, you know, the sensible person would, in the first instance, look around New Zealand, A, to see whether or not the work actually needs to be done, and B, over what period of time that needs to be done, and C, alternative ways of doing it and costing it. I think that what tends to happen is people get a large bill or the prospect of having a large bill and then freak out about it and immediately look at it alternatives without actually exploring at the very least whether or not all of the work that they need, they're told that needs to be done, needs to be done. So I say that in support of my suggestion that there are less expensive alternatives already available within our borders without having to resort to going overseas and getting this stuff done. But people like going overseas anyway.
I understand that too. Let's talk about the spends on teeth. Ultimately, I've got a feeling, and you know, I recognise I'm in a somewhat privileged position because I've got a job, and we've got a lot of people who are struggling along. But over the years, having had some teeth pulled out when I was a younger dad and didn't have any dosh, you know, so you just accept, oh, well, that one's got to go. But I've been fighting hard for each tooth now, and as they come together, even if it's a root canal, I'm trying to prioritise it because, to be honest, Justin, I don't think there's anything more important.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree with you, but I would also say that the point that people are in, you know, I don't know how young you are, but that that up until the age of 18, we are supposed to have a universal publicly funded oral health system in New Zealand. And the difficulty for a lot of people is that they, for all sorts of reasons, are unable to access that care until they reach the age of 18. We as a group have said that the scheme, and we're continually advocating that the scheme should actually be increased up until the age of 25 by doing a wee bit of tweaking, because it's that early adulthood change in lifestyle, increasing your personal responsibilities, lack of money, that is the point where the crunch comes in. And we think that if you get to beyond 25, most people are stable in what they do and then are able to budget for any care. The difficulty is that people get to 18 and they haven't been able to access their entitlement under the free scheme, and so they leave the free scheme in poor oral health, where the best thing would be for people to utilise it so that they leave the free scheme in good health and are then able to maintain their teeth in a less expensive way going forward. So, you know, the outcome, like people having problems with their teeth now, if someone comes in and they have a problem with their tooth now, the start of the problem with the tooth wasn't yesterday, it was about 6 years ago. It takes that long for things to develop.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And, of course, I've got a feeling too that it's parents who do a lot of sacrificing for their kids and can't afford to go to the dentist. Well, you know, I know that it'd be nice to have universal dental accessibility to 25, but I'm picking a lot of our problems occur in our 40s as well. So we've got a lot of living to do. And I know that targeted Māori interventions aren't politically supported at the moment, but how do our... As a generalisation, please, Justin, how do our teeth stack up against other ethnicities in this country?
Well, I mean, our mouths are the same as everybody else's mouths, really. And in fact, there are some differences that we are better at. Like our teeth are bigger and more robust. The problem for us is that we, by and large, are unable to access services when they are free and are available to us. So we tend to miss out, right, and I'm not talking about adolescents, right from when we are born, Māori do not receive the same level of access and the same level of care as non-Māori, and that's documented all the way right up through the system. So the difficulty is that you get to 40 as a victim of a system that is not providing for you until you reach the age of 18. It did not work for you. It has not done what it should have done for you. And when you get to that 30, 40 age group, that is when the problems that should have been sorted out and put in place for you by the time you reached 18, that's when they start coming back to roost. And so, you know, for young families, the best thing for you is for people with tamariki rangatahi is to make sure that they go along and you access the services and you make sure the people that are providing you services are doing the proper job. You know, make the system accountable. Don't, you know, we've got to get away from us saying that that we are the victims of our own bad behaviour because we didn't brush our teeth or we ate lollies. I'm not interested in that argument. I'm interested in a discussion about why the people who provide services, which is us, dentists, why we aren't doing a better job. Come on, people. Come on, folks. Let's get our tools and get on with it for the people who really need the care, and in particular, tamariki rangatahi.
Tēnā koe. Well, it's as I say, our kōrero was intended to be just another perspective to look at this trend that many Māori are involved in or been embroiled in, that's these dental holidays. Yes, there'll be some that work out well, but there will also be some that return from offshore with horror stories. I guess to wrap us up, Justin, you're saying, hey, do your research and proceed with caution.
Oh, absolutely. But I also have to say that people that, you know, I'm not bagging people that are able to afford to go away on the dental holidays, but they've got more money than the average bear in the first place because they can actually afford to go over to these places. And I think that this is it's an interesting phenomena in that some of the people who are given these big invoices for treatment plans, I don't think that they're really critically looking at what they're told they need. And a lot of the stuff that they are saying or people are telling them they need may not actually be necessary. It may not be necessary.
Tēnā koe. Good talking with you again, Justin. Yep. Thanks very much for sharing some time with us. That's Justin Wall. He's working in Ashburton, which is where our